Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you very much for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast today. Today is Thursday, July 16th, 2020, and wow, we are experiencing a heat wave here in Florissant, 90 plus degrees of temperature this weekend, predicted to hit 100. It is hot, as they say, as a firecracker here in Missouri. Have a very important program this morning on Bible prophecy and the future of Iran. This is something I touched on in my last book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. The last chapter in the book was entitled 40 Years Later and the Future of Iran. And I was drawn to a book written by Bill Salus called Nuclear Showdown in Iran, which was written about 8 years ago, talking about the then nuclear deal that Obama and the Coalition of Nations was proposing that was ratified in July of 2015. And I thought, this is important that my Iranian friends know something of what the Bible teaches about the future of Iran. Now, let me just be frank with you up front. I'm not a prophecy expert. This is a difficult, touchy, sensitive field to get into. We have a tendency to want to read in today's headlines into the scriptures. But my friend Bill Salus, in his book Nuclear Showdown with Iran, has written on an extensive amount of information on a very important, obscure prophecy in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 49. We're going to get into that later. We're going to talk today about the future of Iran according to biblical prophecy. But before I do that, I want to go to my book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran, and talk to you about that last chapter. There's a background I want you to know about what I'm going to speak with you today. And that is the history of the oppression against Iran and their thirst and hunger for freedom, democracy, and a leader that will bring them that. And I want us to know a little bit about this background before we get into the Bible prophecy this morning. Back on February 1st, 1979, millions of desperate Iranians filled the streets of Tehran, welcoming their new king from exile. The Ayatollah Khomeini stepped down from a 747 jumbo jet that had just arrived at the airport from Paris, and he proclaimed himself as the new leader of the Islamic Revolution. Iranians were emotionally overwhelmed and very hopeful that the Ayatollah would bring them the true freedom that they had been longing for now since the Shah and his family had went into exile into Egypt. It had been 40 years since that historical moment. It's been 40 years. And Iranians have gotten everything but true freedom. The Islamic Republic of Iran has been one of the most fierce totalitarian governments situated in the Middle East. It has been 40 long and cruel years of oppression under a dictatorship that has replaced freedom with slavery to an ancient law known as Sharia law. There has been 41 years now of lies and deception, 41 years of suppression of human rights with no religious freedom and no freedom of speech, 41 years of executions as the penalty for speaking out and disagreeing with this government, 41 years of women being covered and veiled and lashed for failure to adhere to the Islamic dress code, 41 years of the reign of mullahs who rule your life from the cradle to the grave. Now, in this book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran, which was written in 2018 and published in 2019, there has been another uprising since then. And, of course, it's the November uprising, just this past November, when over 1,500 innocent, peaceful protesters were executed in a two-week period by the Iranian government. They shut down the internet to try to conceal their horrendous crime. Now there are three protesters from that uprising that are going to be executed, but the international pressure, the number of petitions and outcry of people like myself and my Iranian human rights activists has put a halt to this execution. We need to continue to put up the pressure on this government to release these three young protesters that were simply peacefully protesting. But what they're doing to execute them is to try to make an example out of them so that other Iranians will be afraid to go to the streets. We need to continue the pressure, ratchet it up every day, and speak out against this government to halt the execution of these three protesters. But in my book that I'm reading from, there was the Winter Uprising of 2017. Iranians at that time took to the streets in over 70 cities, demanding that the government get out of Syria and start taking care of them. There was a haunting chant that could be heard summing up the angry mood of the people, quote, "The people are paupers while the mullahs live like gods." The Iranian economy then and now is in a death spiral due largely to the newly imposed sanctions by the Trump administration. And of course, instead of sharing the wealth that the government got when they had sanction relief and $150 billion under the Obama administration, instead of sharing that wealth and helping poverty-stricken people, the mullahs continued financing their terrorist connections and lived like kings while children slept in cardboard boxes out in the streets. Inflation, poverty, homelessness have saturated the landscape with an increase of suicide from depression and despair. Iranians, well, they're desperate for freedom, and they've longed for the glory days long ago when the Persian Empire flourished under kings who treated the people at that time with tolerance and justice. One such king in Iranian history that is heralded as a great king was the King Cyrus. He founded Persia by uniting the Iranian tribes of the Medes and Persians. Although Cyrus, who was known as a great conqueror, he was most well known for his tolerance and magnanimous attitude toward those he defeated. When Cyrus, for example, conquered Babylon, he was greeted by the grateful cheers of the Jewish community, who welcomed him as a liberator. Cyrus is recognized from the pages of the Bible as being compassionate to the Jews and allowing them to return to their homeland to rebuild their temple. Respect and tolerance were the outstanding qualities of Cyrus, who actually is credited for creating the first charter of human rights known to mankind. You see that on display in a museum, the Cyrus Cylinder. This is the first charter of human rights created by King Cyrus. Every October 29th, thousands of Iranians pay respect to King Cyrus at his grave. It's called King Cyrus Day. Well, what's the point of all this? Iranians are desperately searching for a leader, a liberator, a king like Cyrus, who will free them from the oppression and tyranny and return their land to the glory of the Persian Empire. Now, although he's not as famous as the ancient King Cyrus, President Donald Trump has reached out to the Iranian people, recognizing their right to have a free homeland once again. The Trump administration has been supportive to the Iranians and has confronted this regime with their serious human rights violations. Iranians have responded with hope that Trump will be that world leader who will create the right circumstance for the overthrow of this evil regime that has oppressed and enslaved Iranians for more than 41 years. You can imagine just how thrilled they were just this past January 3rd when a drone missile attack killed the evil top general Soleimani in Baghdad. Iranians were thrilled. This man had enslaved them. He had been the, if you will, the tyrant of abuse in the Middle East. He was a terrorist general. He was responsible for the death of those 1,500 protesters back in November. With the death of Soleimani, many Iranians took to the streets celebrating that the Trump administration really did care, not just to destroy this evil dictator, but also because of what he did to the Iranian people. Now, of course, you saw all these funeral processions giving you the idea that many Iranians loved Soleimani, but that was staged. Many of my Iranian friends said they were forced to come to this funeral or be killed, and so they had to come. So the Trump administration, Donald Trump, has been an advocate for the Iranian people. He just recently, yesterday, tweeted in defiance of the execution of these three protesters. He spoke out in their behalf. He has always supported the Iranian people. And they hope that one day Trump will be the world leader who will create the right circumstances for an overthrow of this evil regime. But the question I want us to answer this morning, or attempt to answer this morning, is there a bright future for the Iranian people? Or will it be another year again of more death and destruction? Can we look at the Bible and discover the answer to this question? Well, let me try to answer it this way. The key to answering this important question, is there a biblical future for the nation of Iran, is first, we recognize that God is the sovereign Lord over history. Scripture provides this answer to that question. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Praise the name of God forever, for he has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. Daniel 2:20 declares that God is sovereign and that he is the one who sets up kings and kingdoms and removes them for their providential purposes. What does that say? It says that Satan is not, I repeat, not in control of this planet, but rather, as Scripture plainly teaches, God has the final say to the course of world events. Now, there is also one more powerful and insightful passage of Scripture written in the Old Testament more than 2,600 years ago that I believe has tremendous insight into the future of Iran. Bill Salas, as I mentioned in his Nuclear Showdown in Iran book, has written extensively on this passage. We're going to hear from him in just a few minutes, but let's hear what this passage has to say. Jeremiah chapter 49, verses 34 through 39. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet concerning Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the mainstay of their might. And I will bring upon Elam the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and I will scatter them to all those winds, and there shall be no nation to which those driven out of Elam shall not come. Verse 37, I will terrify Elam before their enemies and before those who seek their life. I will bring disaster upon them. My fierce anger, declares the Lord. I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them, and I will set my throne in Elam and destroy their king and officials, declares the Lord. Verse 39, but in the latter days I will restore the fortunes of Elam, declares the Lord. What does this obscure small prophecy have to do with the future of Iran? Well, one thing I want us to understand very clearly is that Iran is also mentioned in Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel 38 is a very important chapter, and it talks about a coalition of nations that will come together in the last days, one of them Iran, Persia, to attack and destroy the Jewish people in Israel. The goal of this coalition is to remove Israel from the Middle East, just as Hamas and Hezbollah try to do today. There is extreme anti-Semitic hatred towards the Jewish people. And Ezekiel 38 also mentions Iran as one of those nations set on the devastation and destruction of Israel in the last days. Now, we've just read Jeremiah 49. I want us to get some context on the meaning of this passage. So for the next 6 minutes, I want you to hear a short interview with Bill Salas, Nuclear Showdown in Iran, that helps us to understand the context of this chapter. Let's listen.
One of the most troubling developments on the world scene today is Iran's nuclear program. Of great concern is the fact that Iran's Islamic rulers have labeled the USA as the Great Satan and Israel as the Little Satan. On several occasions, leaders in Iran have threatened to wipe Israel off the map. Israel takes this threat very seriously and has vowed to prevent Iran from ever acquiring a nuclear bomb. How will the standoff end? Is there a nuclear showdown forthcoming? Did the Bible predict this scenario? And if so, what are the details of the specific prophecy? Our guest today believes the answers to all these questions is emphatically yes, 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 and yes. He says, yes, the Bible does appear to have predicted a coming nuclear showdown in Iran. In fact, he has authored a book about this prophecy entitled Nuclear Showdown in Iran, Revealing the Ancient Prophecy of Elam. That's Elam, which is spelled E-L-A-M. So if anyone is qualified to address the potential prophetic implications of Iran's nuclear program, it's our guest, Bill Salas. Bill, it's always a pleasure to have you on our program. What about Iran's nuclear program? And is there a correlation between it and the ancient prophecy of Elam?
Larry, there are striking similarities between Iran's current nuclear scenario and a Jeremiah prophecy written about 2,600 years ago. The prophecy has never been historically fulfilled and appears to have a very relevant application for our time.
Before you elaborate on the connections, can you identify the location of ancient Elam in relationship to modern-day Iran?
The historic location of Elam is the territory that is most on the western side of Iran, mostly hugging the Persian Gulf. Iran today is comprised of Elam and Persia of the past. In fact, Iran was formerly called Persia until its name changed to Iran in 1935. It's important to note that the Bushehr nuclear reactor is located within the land of ancient Elam. This reactor is a nuclear disaster waiting to happen. It was constructed with German, Iranian, and Russian parts over the span of 40 years. The reactor is located where three tectonic plates merge together. It is loaded with nuclear fuel rods. It has a 30-year-old antiquated cooling system, and no one at the facility is trained to handle a nuclear disaster like what happened in 2011 to the Fukushima nuclear reactor. Additionally, it is a strategic target for Israel or any of Iran's enemies to strike.
What are the correlations between the details of the biblical prophecy of Jeremiah 49, 34 through 39 concerning Elam and the events surrounding Iran's present nuclear scenario?
Jeremiah foretells of a time when the leadership of Elam will fiercely anger the Lord. We know this because the prophecy says that the kings and princes will be destroyed and the Lord would never destroy good leadership. The prophecy tells us the Lord is angry with the bad leadership of Iran because they want to launch a lethal missile somewhere, and the Lord prevents this from occurring. It says that the Lord breaks the bow of Elam at the foremost place of Iran's might, which today would likely be Iran's nuclear program. The breaking of the bow causes an epic disaster that leads to humanitarian crisis because the prophecy predicts that the affected indigenous population will flee immediately from the area. It says there will be no nations, that's nations plural, where the refugees won't flee. This alludes to a worldwide dispersion. Moreover, at the time of this disaster, Iran will have an assortment of enemies, which is the case today. The international community is concerned about Iran choking off world oil through the Persian Gulf. Israel is concerned about Iran attacking it to destroy the Jewish state. The Sunni Arab states, like Saudi Arabia and others, are concerned that Iran is trying to overtake the entire Middle East region. Larry, all the details of this prophecy are in place now. This prophecy could find fulfillment at the present time.
Well, Bill, this is a bundle of bad news for Iran, but is there a silver lining for Iran in the prophecy?
Yes, there is. The prophecy says that in the latter days, which is why we know that this prophecy finds fulfillment in the biblical end times, that a remnant of dispersed Iranians will be restored to their former homeland. In fact, Jeremiah says that the Lord will someday establish his throne in Elam, and that has got many Iranian Christians today excited about that aspect of this prophecy. Presently, many Iranians are converting to Christianity. They are receiving dreams, visions, healings, and spiritual encounters that are causing many of them to become believers. And these phenomena also seems to fit within the details of the prophecy.
Well, that brings us to the conclusion of this interview. And we want to remind you that this is just one of many important biblical prophecies that are stage setting for their fulfillment in the near future. If you want to learn more about this prophecy and many others, we invite you to listen to our radio program and visit our website. At SWRC, we are interested in providing you with the biblical narrative and prophetic perspectives of current events. The Bible has much to say about the times in which we live, and at SWRC, we are all about connecting the prophetic dots so that you can safely navigate through these turbulent times.
You just heard Bill Salas, the author of Nuclear Showdown in Iran, being interviewed and giving a brief understanding and an overview of this fascinating, obscure little prophecy. But I want to go over a few of the details that you're never going to get in an interview. There's a lot of things that, because it's a short interview, you're not going to hear. But let's look a little bit more carefully at what Bill Salas has said about Jeremiah chapter 49. What does God say? Let's go over that. Number one, he says, I will break the bow of Elam. Now, historically, this group of people known as archers in that time period, more than 2,000 years ago, God did bring judgment upon this nation then. But as I pointed out several times on my programs before, prophecy has an amazing way of having what's called double fulfillment. There was a historical fulfillment then, but as you'll notice in the last verse of our study, it says, in the last days, God says, I will restore the fortunes of Elam. He will set his throne in Elam. So we're talking yet latter days. Therefore, this prophecy has future implication. Behold, I will break the bow of Elam. Bill alluded to the bow of Elam can also mean future context, the ballistic missile program of the Iranian people, that God will stop the Iranian government from launching a deadly missile strike against Israel. I will break the bow of Elam can refer to that. Now, the context of what Bill was talking about is the nuclear program of Iran. What do we know about that? Well, there was a nuclear agreement signed just 5 years ago by the Obama administration. As I pointed out, in this agreement of the nations, Iran was supposed to not be able to have the right to develop a nuclear missile, that they were put on notice. But notice what happened in that clause. There was a sunset part of that clause that would enable Iran after 10 years to develop a nuclear weapon. So this deal would do everything but not empower Iran. It would empower Iran in the future to develop their nuclear missiles. And through this agreement, over $150 billion from the Obama administration was given to the mullahs, who in turn enriched their terrorism agenda. So Donald Trump rightly tore up this deal when he came to office. But in tearing up this deal, he did not turn his back on the Iranian people like Obama did. Trump has been a voice of hope and freedom for the Iranian people. Now, because he tore up this deal, the European side of this deal, they're not really happy with the Trump administration. They thought that was a big mistake. But these are the same people that do financial business with the government of Iran. And so in tearing up this deal, Iran has said, well, we're going to continue to empower our nuclear program. They're going to continue to enrich the uranium beyond the prescribed limit. So I see a future aspect of this prophecy that they will in the future launch a very serious missile strike in the Middle East against those that are not on the side of Iranians. They could launch a missile strike against Saudi Arabia, and they could launch a missile strike against Israel. They still have nuclear capabilities with the Bushehr nuclear plant in the north of Iran. So God is saying in Jeremiah 49, I am going to break the bow of Elam, the foremost of their might. Against Elam, I will bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven and scatter them toward all those winds. There will be no nation where the outcasts of Elam will not go. Well, we see even today, since the Iranian Revolution, millions of refugees seeking freedom in new countries like Sweden, Germany. And so in the near future, when this comes to fruition, there will be even more refugees, the outcasts of Elam. And then God swears, I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies, and before those who seek their life, I will bring disaster upon them, my fierce anger, and I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them. We see that Israel will not sit by idly as Iranians continue to enrich their nuclear program, that what we see here is a possible future attack by the Israeli government on the Bushehr nuclear plant and others in Iran, and God will use them to bring about his fierce anger upon them. He will bring disaster upon them. We could see possibly in the future another Chernobyl incident like there was in Russia in Iran. And God promises, I will set my throne in Elam. There's the future of the Iranian people. As he did in the past, he set up his kings in Elam to show that he had conquered them. He set up his throne then. In the future, God will again bring his throne to Elam. We see the kingdom of God growing exponentially in Iran in the underground church movement, which is the largest church movement in the world, even above China. God is saying, I will set my throne in Elam and destroy from there the king and the princes. God is destroying the evil dictatorship government and bringing peace and freedom to the Iranian people. He will set his throne in Elam, and in the latter days, he says, I will bring back the captives of Elam. I will bring them back, and I will restore their fortunes. This is a real beautiful promise to the people of Iran. I'm just amplifying on what Bill Salas was saying. So we do indeed see a type of future here. We see that there is a context to this prophecy. I'm not the only one that has talked about this. There's other scholars who have commented on Jeremiah 49. So we have in the Bible the latter days. We have Ezekiel 38, the coalition of nations that will try to destroy Israel in the latter days. Iran or Persia is one of those nations. We see here in the context of Jeremiah 49 that God will bring his fierce judgment upon Elam. He will break their bow. We've talked about what that can mean. But what I love about this prophecy, most importantly, is that last verse. But I will restore the fortunes of Elam in days to come. I, the Lord, have spoken. Is there a glorious future to Iran, for the people of Iran? I believe the Bible teaches that. I believe that God loves the people of Iran, that God has used this terrorist government to cause Iranians to find their hope in Jesus. When they see the fruit of Islam all around them, the young people of Iran has sought out spiritual reality, and they have found their hope and freedom in Jesus. And so God has used this oppressive government to bring people to faith in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that God is working powerfully among the Iranian people. I can testify of that. I write their stories in all of my books. I talk to them, and I know what they want. They want freedom and democracy. And I believe when you look carefully at these Bible passages, especially Jeremiah chapter 49, you see the Lord punishing oppressive government, stopping its nuclear attacks in the Middle East, and restoring the fortunes of the people of Elam in the days to come. It is a glorious future for the Iranian people, but a dim and judgmental future for this government. And we have taken a very close and detailed look at a prophecy which I believe points to hope and freedom for the people of Iran. I'm going to have some concluding remarks, but right now let's take a song break and let's revel in the amazing grace of our God. This is Chris Tomlin on The Cross in the Desert.
Like me.
Beautiful worship music from Chris Tomlin, Amazing Grace. This morning on the Cross in the Desert, I have taken us into a detailed, concise look at Jeremiah 49 and asked the question, does this obscure little prophecy offer hope for the people of Iran, for the future of the people of Iran? And I believe it does. And I just want to end this program today with a prayer. To my dear Iranian friends, I'm praying that God will give you the desires of your hearts and that your dreams and visions for the future will one day be finally realized. I am praying that one day you will have a free Iran where you can walk down the streets without fear of being monitored, without fear of being stopped because of the way you dress. I am praying for the day that you can believe as you choose, that you can speak your mind without fear of imprisonment. I am praying for the day that you will have true freedom. I believe that day is on the horizon, my dear Iranian friends. I know that God hears the cries of your hearts. Your lives are precious to him. He will deliver you from all fear and oppression. And I want to leave you with a promise from the Bible describing that day of freedom that I have spoken to you about. Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 through 5. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's throne is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He shall wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. And these things are gone forever." And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." My dear Iranian friends, this is a promise from our great God. He cannot lie. What he promises will happen. Just like when we read together Jeremiah 49, it's going to happen in the future. It's going to come to pass. It is absolutely true. I want to assure you that one day your pain and suffering will finally come to an end. The promise that I'm reading to you is guaranteed to everyone who puts their hope and faith in Jesus. And I can tell you, I know this from my own life. Jesus has given me a peace and an assurance that has sustained me through the dark and difficult trials of my own life. This is a promise from Scripture for those that put their faith and trust in Jesus. It goes without saying that millions of Iranians have found their hope and freedom in Jesus. They comprise the largest underground church in the world. It's right in the heart of Iran. One day, Jeremiah 49 says, God will set his throne in Elam. He will restore the fortunes of the people of Iran. He will gather together those exiles from other countries that had to leave because of this oppressive government. God is doing a mighty work among the Iranian people under great, great difficulty. There is hope. We have a new president that cares about the fortunes of the Iranian people, who is their voice for hope and freedom. This is a new day. We have the biblical promise that one day this government will be judged of God and will be removed. And it is because of the goodness of God, the greatness of our God, who controls all the course of world events. And I'm calling on you as an Iranian to put your faith and trust in not a world leader and not a government, but put your faith and trust in Jesus, because freedom without Jesus is hopeless. It's just another wall. You have a future in God's plan when you trust in his Son, the Lord Jesus. He is the one that gives you the true peace and the freedom you're searching for. It has been an exciting 45 minutes here on the Cross in the Desert this morning. I pray that you will listen to this again and again and share it all over the internet. This is the good news of Christ and the hope of a future for the Iranian people according to the Bible. I want to thank you for taking time this morning to listen. God bless you. I will see you on Monday again on the Cross in the Desert. Have a great weekend.